And now the drama. This week it's the third series of Le Donne, set in Naples, modern-day Naples. With her husband Franco in prison, Caterina Riccardi ordered the death of her rival, Carlo Caporino, and has taken over leadership of the Riccardi clan, which belongs to the Camorra, the Neapolitan mafia. Antonella, her only surviving child, has disappeared, horrified by the extent of her parents' crimes. Now, with the help of Salvatore, Franco's closest advisor, Caterina tries to maintain control of her empire.
It had been one of the bloodiest months in the city for over a decade, as men loyal to Carlo Caporino tried to disappear, to escape into the neighbouring countryside or head to cities in the north. Carlo had said that Naples is a hornet's nest, and we had all kicked it. Emilio Dante, Marisa Piranesi and Carlo Caporino. And now I'd given it the biggest kick of all. By wiping out the Caporino, I had created a power vacuum in their part of the region, and other rapacious forces rushed in to fill it. Other gangs, seeing an opportunity to climb the ladder in the city's hierarchy. The Caporino's multi-billion dollar trade in drugs was up for grabs. But just as Franco had disdained the drugs trade, I wanted no part of it. Salvatore felt differently.
This is an opportunity that comes along once in every 10 years. We cannot afford to pass it up. More importantly, we cannot afford to empower our enemies by giving them a free hand.
Franco was very clear.
Franco was clear, of course. 5 years ago, we could make hundreds of millions selling counterfeit DVDs, but who buys DVDs now? That demand has simply disappeared. But the demand for narcotics will never disappear.
After Franco's guilty verdict, the anti-mafia powers came down on what they called the Riccardi Empire and confiscated many of our assets. The house in Naples, our holiday villa at Lake Como, and several other properties I hadn't even known we owned. These were sold at auction, and the money was used for high-profile, socially worthy projects, homes for orphan children, health clinics, and drug rehabilitation centres. Marisa Piranesi had her prize.
Franco Riccardi was returned today to the maximum security prison in Sardinia, where he'll spend the rest of his life in solitary confinement.
And several minor prizes.
Three city councillors were today arrested in the wake of the Riccardi. A judge was today arrested on charges of corruption and perverting the course of justice.
I'm encouraged by these recent developments. The Camorra has infiltrated every level of our society to the extent that our very democracy is threatened. Thomas Jefferson said that eternal vigilance is the price for freedom. I sometimes think the Camorra is more vigilant in protecting its freedoms than we are in protecting ours.
My public image was that of the wronged wife, the devastated, law-abiding wife.
I had no idea my husband was involved in organised crime, and I am truly appalled by his horrendous acts.
But this was merely for the benefit of the law-abiding world. Those within the system knew that I was a serious woman who could be relied upon. After 2 months' solitary confinement, Franco died of a heart attack. There were some conspiracy theories, naturally, but nothing could be proven. The funeral was a strange affair. It seemed like half of Naples turned out to watch it. Some mourners threw flowers at the cortege, others threw rocks and trash and curses.
We want justice!
But still, Antonella didn't come back. It was as if my daughter had vanished off the face of the earth.
How is it possible that she's just disappeared? How, Sal, in this day and age?
She's very determined. And she's smart. She's angry, it's understandable. Perhaps one day she will see things differently.
I'm terrified something's happened to her.
Then we would know. The fact we haven't heard anything is proof to me that she's alive and well. Relax, Caterina. Enjoy the good times. Enjoy your freedom.
My freedom. I'd lived in ignorance for years and was as free as a bird. Now I knew everything and was in chains. Perhaps I hoped Antonella would one day return and somehow free me. I put flowers in her room every other day, as she had. Then one day, as I browsed her books on the bookshelf, I came across a book of poems by Rumi with this passage underlined. What hurts you blesses you. Darkness is your candle. And between the pages, as a bookmark, was Marisa Piranesi's business card. And on the back of it, the prosecutor's private number.
Marisa Piranesi? Who's calling, please? Say something or I'm hanging up.
This is Caterina Riccardi.
How did you get this number?
I believe you gave it to my daughter.
Yes, I remember. How is she?
I've no idea. I was hoping you could answer that.
How?
Do you have my daughter?
Do I what?
Are you hiding her? Is she under the state's protection?
Why would we protect her? What does she know, Signora Riccardi?
Nothing. Forgive me, I'm sorry I called.
I'm not in contact with your daughter. I met her briefly at a memorial for Senator Ferrazzano. We exchanged a dozen words, no more than that.
Fine.
I know you played some part in your husband's conviction. I'm grateful.
You're mistaken. I did nothing, nothing whatsoever to help you or anyone.
You're right, Signora Riccardi. You did nothing. I hope you find your daughter.
Franco always used to say that I'd be asleep the moment my head hit the pillow. He teased me it was a miracle we'd ever had a family at all. Now I couldn't sleep more than an hour or two. Often I would give up the struggle at 4 a.m, work out in the gym downstairs, then shower and dress and drive to our church. I'd light candles for Nino and Amedeo. They both loved candles when they were kids. Then I'd sit in silence in the darkness, or in the summer months on a bench in the early morning sunlight by their graves. One morning I fell asleep and I dreamt about Nino and Amedeo, and they were playing in a sun-kissed field. I walked towards them in my communion dress, and my parents were there in their smartest clothes, side by side in the shade of a tree. Then Antonella was there, her long golden hair glimmering in the late afternoon sun. She was shouting something which I couldn't hear. I walked towards her through the waist-high grass, which began to cut my bare legs and arms. I continued walking, and now I could hear her. She was calling out,
"Go back! Go back!"
I woke up, lying on the church bench. Someone had lain a blanket over me, over my bare legs. 30 feet away, there was a young woman tending to a grave.
Good morning. You were shivering, so I put the blanket over you. I'm sorry if I've caused offence.
Oh, no, not at all. I'm grateful.
I often come here and just sit on the grass, talk to my husband. He says as much now as he did when he was alive, but what can you do? Oh, my name's Rita Florio.
Pleased to meet you, Rita. I'm Caterina Riccardi.
Ciao, Caterina.
Do you know who I am?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm hopeless with faces.
I'm very pleased to meet you, Rita. Perhaps we'll meet again.
Likewise. Ciao.
Donna Riccardi, our meeting is in 15 minutes. With Baldassari. With the ghost.
All my life, I had been terrified of violence. Now I was surrounded by men who were adept at it, masters of it, connoisseurs even. Men who would show obsequious respect, but who wouldn't hesitate to kill me if they turned against me. Men like Giovanni Baldassari.
Why do they call him the ghost?
You'll understand when you see his complexion. He never sees daylight. He's been in hiding so long, a lot of people think he's dead. The Carabinieri, anyway.
Baldassari was the commander of our military wing. He provided force when force was needed. He had dispatched Carlo Caporino on my orders. He had murdered dozens more. He terrified me, and I loathed him. But I needed him. People talk about a necessary evil, and this was Baldassari.
Donna Riccardi.
Signore Baldassari, welcome. We're honoured by your presence.
You flatter me, Donna Riccardi. The honour is mine alone. I love this family, and I'm grateful for every blessing it has bestowed on me. Salvatore knows.
Indeed.
We're immensely grateful for everything you've done. But I need to speak to you now about a matter of some delicacy that has come to my attention.
See?
They call you the ghost. You come and go as you please. You remain untouched. You, of all people, should appreciate the value of invisibility.
I do.
The more hidden we are, the more invisibly we operate, the more powerful we become.
It's true.
But there are people in your district who refuse to learn that lesson.
Hotheads, what are you going to do?
You put a stop to it. Sal.
We're staying out of narcotics, Giovanni. Let's be clear on that. Once and for all.
Donna Riccardi.
Don't tell me boys will be boys. Make sure this trafficking in drugs is stopped before it harms us any further. Tell your men...
Donna Riccardi, my greatest respect. When the Caporino had the lion's share of the drugs game, we did well to stay away from it. But now we've wiped them out, we have created vast opportunities just waiting to be taken. And whoever takes these opportunities will become more powerful than we are. And then we're finished. In 5 years' time, we're done. A wise man said, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. I fear we're doing exactly that and more. We're giving the gift horse to our enemies.
I've stated my position.
It's not where we want to take the business.
I hate drugs, just like the next man. If a child of mine was using them, I'd beat him with a shovel.
Your son is selling drugs on our streets. Now, I'm asking you to get your house in order and put a stop to it.
I watched Salvatore as he walked the ghost to his car. There was a bond between them that concerned me.
She wants me to put a stop to something that can't be stopped. She's like King Canute. And you and I both know, Sal, the tide comes in.
I'll talk to her. I'll see what I can do. Donna Riccardi.
Yes, Sal.
Baldassari speaks a lot of sense. His men will deal in drugs. There's too much money to be made. And we cannot go to war with Baldassari.
And neither can I allow him to dictate the running of this business.
A teenage girl has been killed in a shootout in
a busy
street in Naples. Witnesses say that several shots were fired as gang members clashed in a rivalry over drugs. The victim has been named as 17-year-old Sofia Aversano.
I sat alone and watched the news that night.
Emotional scenes in central Naples tonight as thousands of people amass in St.
And part of me longed to join them.
Just meters away from where Sofia Aversano lost her life, killed in crossfire.
I stared at the sea of distraught and grieving faces, hundreds of people in a candlelit vigil, a peaceful, heartfelt protest at the Camorra's endless violence. There was one face I recognised immediately. It was Antonella.
And in tomorrow's episode, Caterina searches for Antonella. You can hear that episode again tonight here on Radio 4 at 7:45, and part two is part of Woman's Hour tomorrow.
Woman's Hour was presented by Jane Garvey and produced by Karina Jones. The news is next here on Radio 4, and then through personal stories. The comedian Omid Jalili, the novelists Sarah Dinant and Jen Ashworth, and the journalists Abdul Rahman Malik and Emma Barnett will be describing their early memories of engaging with religion at home and school, the sense of community it provided, but also the challenge and frustration they encountered during their teenage years. That's in The Faith of Children, or Kumbaya and All That, in a couple of minutes.